We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hi everyone, Chelsea here. We should be talking much more about women's hair loss. There are many reasons that hair loss can happen in women, from a number of medical conditions like anemia all the way to transitions like pregnancy or menopause. And that's where Zion Health comes in. They are hair loss experts who make getting treatment easy and accessible with both medicated and non-medicated options available. Go to xyonhealth.com to get started.
Hi, Catherine.
Oh, hi, Chelsea. Welcome back to L.A.
Oh, hello. Shabbat shalom.
Chelsea, I have an update from one of our callers. This is from Emily. She called in on our Joel Kim booster episode a while back. She was having some difficulty getting her writing done, and we gave her some advice. Emily says, hi, Catherine and Chelsea. Update about my no-nonsense writing habits that I've been improving in the last few months since I talked to you guys. I actually ended up quitting my job and going back to school for graduate studies, and not surprisingly, that has really helped put me back into the writing headspace I was first in when I started the series back in my undergrad. I took Chelsea's suggestion, and I now dedicate the first hour or two of my day to writing, and you were right. Not only does it feel less like a chore, but the quality of what I'm putting out is a lot better. I'm now proud to report that the first three books in my series are done, and the first two will be ready for beta readers in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
There we go! Yes! There we go!
My sister and I are trying to budget coming to see you soon, so I'm looking forward to seeing you live again. Thank you both so much. I really love the advice and continue to admire and religiously listen to the show. Emily.
Ah! That's incredible.
I know.
Love it.
Well, our guest today is already on the line, but she's been named one of Variety's 10 comics to watch, and you can watch her first hour-long special on the streamer Veeps, V-E-E-P-S, and it's hysterical. So should we let her on the line?
Hi, Blair. Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Hi, Chelsea. How are you?
Oh, cute. You're so cute.
You are.
Well, we're happy to have you. Rosebud Baker texted me. She said, you have to have this girl Blair Sucky on. I thought it was Sochi. So it's Sucky, Sucky, Sucky. And she was like, you're going to love her and she loves you. And I was like, oh my God, I love a young comedian that I'm not familiar with. So,
oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, of course. So it's so nice to meet you.
It's so nice. I've been such a fan for so long. I was like, this is just a thrill for me.
So what's your story? Tell me about yourself. First I was reading that you got certified in a lot of different kind of wellness genres over COVID. So you are certified, what are you, a mindfulness instructor? What are you?
Gosh, you know.
How do you identify, Blair? Tell us.
I guess I identify as comedian, but when we were in lockdown in LA, like just things got so weird. I just started taking online courses compulsively. I took two levels of breath work. I did TM, I did tapping, you know, EFT tapping.
Uh-huh.
I did Reiki. I'm still not sure what Reiki is, but
no one is sure what Reiki is. I've also done Reiki and yes, left more confused than when I arrived.
Yeah, but I just started taking courses. So I got really, Rosebud was like, we're going to have to tie you to the ground so you don't float away.
So what was your favorite thing that you got, that you took a course in or got certified in over COVID?
I guess breathwork was the first one that I did that sort of started it all, because I didn't know that breathwork, that you could just, your body could feel like that just from breathing. It was really, really bizarre.
Who did you do it with?
I did it with these people called Revelation Breathwork. They have a lot of classes, but yeah, I remember just being so shocked because we have DMT in our spinal fluid. So I don't know. I know you've done psychedelics. I've dabbled myself and I was pretty shocked about how your body felt, you know?
How did it feel?
I mean, it just feels like your whole body's vibrating, like you're high. It's bizarre.
Ooh, yeah.
Have you ever tried it?
No, I'm not good at breathing. So I'm always a little put off. Like when I ski, I always notice I hold my breath. When I ever have to get like a chiropractic adjustment, they're like, you're not breathing. You're not breathing in your diaphragm. You're not. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm not a good breather. So breath work always like, well, even meditation, when I have to do like four breaths in and then four hold and then inhale for four, exhale for four. Even that for me is challenging. So I probably need breath work more than the average person.
I have to say I'm exactly the same way and I still resist doing breath work and every other like person is always like, are you breathing? You know, and I resist it because it's almost like more laborious to me at this point than going to the gym. Like you really have to be in the mood to do it. So physical.
Yes, it is. It is physical. Yeah.
Is this breath work like different than what you would do typically when you're meditating? Is it more intense? What's the experience like?
Well, meditating is just like sort of regular breathing. And then like breath work is this really physical breathing technique.
Where you're blowing in and out, right?
Yeah.
Huge inhales like and that. Huge exhales. So in meditation, like you don't, you're just supposed to breathe regularly unless they'll be like, okay, it's like sometimes guided meditations will go through a different form of breathing exercises. Sure. I wouldn't even call it breath work, but it's almost just to calm you, you know, it calms your... Mm-hmm. Whatever that section of your brain is that I can't think of right now because mine isn't on yet.
You know what's sick? I feel like a lot of it is from just like this lifelong unconscious sucking in your stomach. And I'm like, I think that's why I just don't breathe that much without realizing it.
Or I notice sometimes if I'm in an uncomfortable situation that I hold my breath.
Right.
Which is actually very funny because I obviously don't hold very much back. But I find when I'm in an awkward or uncomfortable, I'm like, my breathing is off too, because I've started to become a little bit more aware of my breathing in the hopes that I can improve upon it. Yet I'm not really willing to do any of the exercises that would help me.
I know, me too. Honestly, I don't do it enough. I need to do it also.
What about, when did you do ayahuasca?
Well, I did it most recently 2 months ago.
And how many times have you done it?
I've done it 3 times.
Oh, okay.
How about you?
Just one time. I did it.
Okay.
Yeah. I did it twice, actually, but it was for a special I was shooting for Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And I did it there. We went to Peru, and I had one night with my friends, and then I did it the next night alone. So you said three. Like, how different was each experience?
I've done it 3 weekends. So, however, I guess, that's 6 nights. Yeah, I don't know how, they say it finds you, but everyone had always said, like, don't ever do it in LA with white people, you know? And I was like, okay, I guess I'm not doing it till I make it to, you know, Peru. And then a friend of a friend just, like, had a good experience, and I went, and, it's funny that people always are like, whoa, you're like some druggie. And I'm like, there's nothing recreational about it. It is like the most hardcore. It's work. It feels like.
And were each of the three experiences vastly different?
Yeah, every single one was different. But all of them, I was, you know, shot into a different universe.
Tell me about the last one. What was it about? Like, what was the thesis?
I would say, well, this is going to get really deep. And it sounds, whenever you're trying to distill it down, people are like, okay, cuckoo. But what I would say is like, I was like, oh, nothing's wrong with me. That's what I learned. And it's like, it's not even like I'm thinking every day something's wrong with me. It's probably like an unconscious thing. But then I was like, oh, there's so much love. Like, that's really what I felt.
Yeah. You have this overwhelming feeling of love and positivity for sure.
Yeah. And I swear, like, I walked out of there with a different worldview that I think I had trying to, was trying to grasp for a while.
It's not even positivity. It's peacefulness that ayahuasca gives you.
Yeah.
You're like, you have a sense of peace about the world that you didn't have before, I would say.
Yeah, because there's a lot of just letting go and sort of acceptance, I think, that happens because you go into these dark crevices and sort of, I feel like, aspirate those wounds and then you leave and you're like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah, please don't use words like aspirate on this podcast, okay? I'm a medical professional and I'm the only one who can throw around that kind of vernacular.
An accident, forgive me.
Did you have any, like, in the previous two sessions with ayahuasca? I'm trying to avoid saying journey because that's another word that I don't want to hear.
Yeah, same.
Did you have any, like, mind-bending, like, epiphanies?
Yeah, I mean, there was crazy things. Like, one, aliens came in my head and talked to me. One, I went in my parents' bodies and felt how they felt about me. That was wild.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, they love me so much, you know? Because sometimes you just have a disconnect with those things. And then to be able to feel someone's perspective was crazy.
Did you tell them that? Did you talk to them about it?
No, they do not know that I have done ayahuasca. And so hopefully no one tells them, but, you know.
Well, they'll find out now. So that's what happens when you talk about it publicly. It gets back to the people that you are hiding it from. So congrats on that and welcome to my life.
I think they're used to it, you know, with comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about, are you single?
I'm single. Yeah.
Yeah. You seem single.
How can you tell? The hat?
Happy, you know, buoyant. I mean, single people don't get enough credit for how fun and happy they are. Like, they're fun.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, a lot of married people are fun too, but it's a very distinguishable quality for a single person because they're just up for more fun adventure, like that kind of vibe. I catch that from single people.
Yeah, well, I feel the same about you. I mean, I do hope I meet the right person, but I have just so far been like, I don't need anyone. I'm like, I'm not going to do it unless they're really, like, really, really, really good.
Yeah.
So.
Unless they add a whole part of your life that you don't already have. In addition.
Yeah, which hasn't yet been, I can't say that has totally been my experience, but, you know.
What hasn't been your experience? A guy adding to your life? Or
yeah, which I have to take responsibility for, you know, people that I've chose. But now I'm just like, I just want someone who's like brings peace, fun, you know, adds.
Yeah. And no drama.
Yeah.
I've been around a lot of drama lately and I'm pretty wiped out from it.
Isn't it so hard in this business? Because like for me, I'm always like, I want to date a regular person. And then I'm like, but when am I going to find a regular person when I'm doing comedy every night?
They're everywhere. That's why you have to get out of Hollywood. That's where you meet regular people is away.
Yeah, it's just like doing stand-up all the time, you know?
I know. And fucking male comedians is just not on my bucket list. Like,
no,
that
it's
is
not going to work for me.
No. That is not hot or alluring at all.
Yeah, if you find the one who doesn't have gout, I mean, I still don't think it's worth it.
Well, they either have gout or they're sober. So two things that don't interest me. I don't want anyone with gout, which would indicate that you do drink. And I don't want anyone sober.
Yeah, 75% of comedians are sober now, I would say. I think that's my estimation.
And I want to put out like a PSA, like, hey guys, I've gotten away with using drugs and alcohol all this time and I didn't have to get sober. So why are you such a pussy?
Yeah, you quitters.
Yeah, quitters. It's like if you just don't ever let anything, if you never ever abuse anything too much, you never have to give it up. So just remember that in your alcohol and drug use journey, like you have to temper yourself. Sometimes you can't party. Sometimes you can't drink for periods of time, or sometimes you have to tone it back. But always just be open to that and be like, yeah, okay, I'll take it easy so that I don't ever have to quit. But you know what? That's irresponsible to some degree because I know a lot of our listeners are sober. And so a lot of people do have an addiction and a disease. And so, you know, I want to respect that and also remind people that I don't have that.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I know when you're in your early 20s, you're like, oh my God, like I could never be friends with sober people. And now I'm like, literally all my friends are sober, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's the world of comedy. So have you dated any comics? You don't have to mention names.
Yeah, I have dated comics. Those are sort of my few long-term relationships in the since I started, but not for a while. I've been off that train for a while.
And is it hard for you? I guess it is hard for you to meet regular guys.
Well, I would say I'm a little shy. I'm also like a pretty sleepy bitch. And, you know, just being on the road all the time, it's like whenever I have a day off, I'm not really feeling like...
horny.
I'm not really being like, wow, I can't wait to go meet a stranger and ask him how many siblings he has, you know? And then they find out I do comedy and then they ask me if I've ever heard of Bill Burr.
Oh. Tell me about it. I mean, someone just invited me to go see Bill Burr at the Rogers Arena in Vancouver because I'm in Whistler. And I'm like, know me less.
I mean, I love Bill Burr, but it's like they immediately start educating you on your own job. And you're like, okay, thank you. But no, I'm trying to date now. And I've actually been, because I'm trying to change my attitude about it. And I'm trying to enjoy it and like put on an outfit. It's been fine. It's been fun. Nice guys, I guess.
So I was reading that you get trolled a lot on TikTok, that the people on TikTok you claim are very mean, which makes sense because they're all kids, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of enjoy it now, like what people say about my voice, them saying I sound like all the Rugrats at once. But no, I wouldn't say I get trolled any more than anyone else, but I do have fun with it.
Any more than any regular white girl comedian who's
yeah,
pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
So you started an OnlyFans account or is that a joke?
Oh, no, that's real. It started as a...
I can't wait to subscribe.
I only had it for 24 hours because my reps made me take it down because I auditioned for a lot of children's, you know, stuff. But it started as a joke. I wrote on Twitter one day. I was just like, hi or something. I don't know what. And I said, like, this was 2 years ago before everyone had an OnlyFans. And I was like, on OnlyFans, you have to... can you just do feet or do you have to show whole, you know, innocent, just having a good time? And then it somehow got like 50,000 retweets. So I was like, oh, yeah, I had no idea there was a market. I'm starting one immediately. And I got one within 45 minutes. And these people are freaks for feet. I always thought that was sort of a joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes on OnlyFans that I didn't even know was a commodity or a fetish. So
yeah.
You could basically have it without showing your Pikachu or your asshole. You can just show, I guess, you know, your side boob. Like it can be as
niche,
simple as that, or as niche as that. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you, Kathy.
I say this in the bit, but like I made the title of my OnlyFans Blair Saki ankles down, no hole. So literally everything was below my ankles. And it was doing quite well, but then all my dreams and hopes got crashed down when I had to take it down after 24 hours.
A shame.
I know.
Are you fucking kidding me? Who gives a shit what anyone is doing on OnlyFans? What are we, the church?
I know. Yeah, it's
America
boring.
Is getting really, really embarrassing and hard to deal with, quite frankly.
I know. Are you seeing these young kids now that say like they don't want sex scenes in movies? I was like, God, you guys are dorks.
I've heard about that. They want to see like scenes with friendships and stuff because that's what they don't have. Like that's that's their porn. It's like they don't, you know, they're
right.
Online.
So you think they want to see scenes with kids because they don't have their own friendship?
What? Yeah, they're like, we don't care about sex scenes because they can see it all online. So they're like, we don't really. That's boring. And they really want to see like deep and meaningful friendships. Like that's what they really want to see in movies now.
Oh, wow.
It's so weird and
maybe
scary.
Maybe that is headed in a good direction then.
Maybe that's very
if
wholesome.
If that's what they're craving, maybe that is a good thing. Maybe all the social media is good because it's taking us back to where we need to go, which is not where we are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Orange County.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
And then I started comedy in New York, which I didn't know I was going to start comedy. I moved there. To become a novelist in grad school and then just like accidentally started comedy.
Who are you friends with in the comedy world that I know besides Rosebud?
Well, yeah, me and Rosebud started together at the exact same time. We've been best friends ever since. But
oh, you know who else I had up here this weekend were Sydney, Marie, and Amina. Do you know them? Amina,
oh, yeah.
Amani?
Those are all my girls. I started with Sid and Marie too.
Oh, okay. Oh, perfect. Yeah. They were the only Black people on the mountain yesterday. We got them a ski lesson, and then we took them to Après, and Amina was like, I think I could ski with you. She's like, look, showing me her video of her skiing. I'm like, no, Amina, you have to fucking turn, okay? Just because you skied straight for 30 seconds, that doesn't mean you can ski on the terrain that we're skiing on. But we had them. They came on my Saturday night, and they spent two nights here, and yeah, they're ridiculous.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Yeah, Catherine, we have to put them on. I'm going to do a counseling session for them and their relationship because they have a lot of beef between each other. So let's book them as well. I just really only should have comedians on because they provide the most joy and happiness.
Those girls are so much fun. They're the best.
Oh, yeah. They're so funny. Okay, so we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery is very full at the moment. I am surrounded by friends, children, and family. Maybe too many friends and too many children sometimes. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that does not drain your battery. And you know we love therapy here at Dear Chelsea. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it can help in your day-to-day life with decision-making, dealing with everyday stresses, and it keeps you well-balanced. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is a super simple way to get started with a therapist. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And you just have to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And then you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DearChelsea today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/DearChelsea. Moms are more than the stuff they do for us. The laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, Dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give Mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm-fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chelsea.
We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Leesa's Sapira Hybrid has been named Wirecutter's best hybrid mattress 5 years running, and collectively, their mattresses have over 20,000 five-star reviews. Delivery is free, returns are easy, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses, plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea.
And we're back. Okay, so we're going to take callers. Catherine has people that are calling in for advice, and you know, we're just changing lives one life at a time here. That's what we're doing, and it's pretty serious business.
I love it.
Blair, you're gonna maybe help us hook some people up, break up some marriages. You know, we'll see what happens.
Perfect.
So our first caller is Sarah. She is from New Jersey. She says, Dear Chelsea, after a series of dumpster fire relationships and a lot of therapy to figure out how to break unhealthy dating patterns, I finally found an amazing guy. He's communicative, empathetic, considerate, and loves making me happy. He has a great career, owns his home, and is financially stable. He has a big circle of great friends, and his family is so sweet. It's only been 5 months together, but I could really see myself marrying him one day. There's just one problem. Our sex life is horrible. Our attempts at intimacy have been awkward, unsuccessful, and leave much to be desired. I want this relationship to work, but his lack of experience and failure to launch make me think we're just not sexually compatible. Is it possible to turn things around? Sarah.
Oh, yeah. That's really difficult. There's a lot of guys that can't get it up. What's going on? Mm-hmm. What is this?
I think a lot of it's porn, but also could be depression.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah. We're just talking about your lack of sex life. Hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
This is our special guest today, Blair Saki.
Hi, Sarah.
So no sex at all? Did I hear that correctly?
Limited sex.
So penetration?
So it seems like he's able to keep it up if he's laying down. So we're limited to me being on top, which is a lot of work for me.
How interesting.
Yeah.
What does that mean that you can only keep it up while lying down?
It's strange. So I don't know. I mean, it's been like a long process.
How long?
Well, so we've been together for like 6 months. We've been having sex or trying to have sex for like 4. But he was like slow in the beginning. Like he was a slow mover. It took a long time for him to kiss me. It took a long time for us to have sex for the first time. And then, I don't know, I thought at first like he was just nervous. And there was always like an excuse or a reason. Mm-hmm. He was stressed out from work, or it was a long week, or it's been a long time since he had sex, or whatever it was. Mm. So it's been a lot of attempts. We just can't keep it up.
I've had a lot of experience with this, but I usually just press on immediately after that infraction because I don't have time for that. But I'm so curious as to what is going on in society that men are having this issue.
So it's funny that you say that, though, because I've never had this issue with any of my boyfriends before. But I've also dated some like real assholes that they have nothing to offer in my life romantically, but they're great in bed. And now I have the exact opposite. Like I found my perfect unicorn and he can't have sex with me.
Well, is there any scenario where you can have him as your boyfriend and just fuck other guys on the side? I mean, that seems like the best solution.
Yeah. I know. It's a tough one.
Also, I mean, if this is really the only issue, what about the pills? Like, just go to the doctor, guy.
Right. So that's something that we've talked about. Like, maybe go see a doctor and make sure everything's going on. Like, everything's fine down there. He's very nervous around doctors and he hates doctors. Insistent that he thinks it's in his head. So he did offer to, like, go see a therapist. Which is fine. It's just, it's less of an immediate solution to the problem.
Yeah.
He could do both also, you know.
So the other issue, though, is that he has high blood pressure. So
he can't do
he's on medication for that. So damn. I think there are some pills that you can't take when
well, there's Cialis, and then Viagra. And one of them is you can't take with a heart condition. And I believe one of them you can. I don't know that for sure. Obviously, ask someone else.
Yeah.
But
You know, for men that they made a pill that can go along with their heart condition, their serious heart condition. No problem. We'll make another one for that. Ladies wait forever on everything.
I wonder if there's something herbal that he could take, though. I mean, I'm sure you have tried some Googling as far as herbal stuff goes.
What about Earl Grey tea? Have you tried that?
And that's kind of why I want to have him go see like a doctor so that he knows what is safe to try and to take. But he's really insisting on he wants to see a therapist and go down that route before he goes to see a doctor. I just don't know how hard I should push because, you know, it's like it's his body. So I feel awkward about it, but.
Well, Sarah, did you mention when we talked, does he have some like body dysmorphia stuff or self-consciousness around his own body that maybe therapy would help unravel?
Yeah, he's been overweight for most of his life and he doesn't have a ton of experience with women. I know he's only been with like a handful of women. So I think that's part of it is he just gets in his own head because he wants to be great at it. Like, I feel like he's sabotaging himself almost a little bit, but I don't know how we get him out of that loop.
Maybe you guys should do mushrooms together.
I mean, they're all good suggestions, but I think like you're clearly into him. You've been with him for 6 months, right? You care about him. I mean, you can still go the distance a little bit further to try and find out like exactly what it is. But I think he should be more willing to see a doctor in conjunction with a therapist so that you can get the ball rolling because 6 months is a long time to be with someone and not having like a healthy sex life with them.
Yeah, I would agree.
And don't diminish your needs because of his. Like, you're meeting him more than halfway by
being on top all the time.
By being okay with this whole thing, right? A lot of people wouldn't have stayed. They would have been like, oh, wait, we're not having sex? All right, I'm out. And it's been 6 months and it's not been as successful as you would want it. I think he should be willing to like go the distance a little bit, you know, deeper, not just say, I'm going to see a doctor. I mean, a therapist, because you're right. That isn't a quick solution. That's a long-term solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, taking it step by step, ruling out like, okay, is it an emotional issue? Is it a physical issue? And like going step by step down the line. The other thing I want to ask too is, are you guys thinking like kids in the future? Because, you know, in addition to being a lack of pleasure, this could be really problematic for that if he doesn't get this figured out.
Right. And that's, he actually really wants kids. I'm sort of undecided on it, but he really wants to have at least one kid. And that's sort of something that I've brought up to him, is like, we should kind of like, maybe that's another reason why we should get this checked out now, so that we know if that's possible for our future or not.
Right. Right. Because sometimes it takes a little trying over a period of time rather than just a one and done.
Yeah. I don't think you take off right now. I think you give it, you know, a little bit more time. And I like what Catherine said, you know, just like issue by issue, like, okay, rule out this, rule out that. Yeah. But you don't have to do that literally once at a time. You know, you can do that in a succession
exactly,
of things.
Exactly, exactly.
You don't have to wait until he's in therapy for 6 months to be like, okay, now we're going to try the doctor.
Exactly.
You should be like a little bit more adamant that he try that more, you know, sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like there's several different layers to it, but I think the most important thing is that he's working on it and taking initiative to work on it.
Yeah, he is. And he did go ahead and schedule a therapy appointment. It was like a bunch of things that sort of happened, that the therapist said she wasn't a good fit for him the first time. And then he had like a work trip come up that he had to, like a meeting that he had to be part of that conflicted with the second time he was supposed to go see the therapist. And then he just recently had somebody really close in his family pass away. So it's sort of all on the back burner right now. So I also don't know like how long I should sort of wait before pushing the issue again, because I definitely want to be sensitive to the fact that he just lost somebody and he's dealing with grief. But I don't know. Do you have any advice on that?
Well, I mean, you can be sensitive to that, but I mean, no, I don't. I wish I did, because you can be sensitive to that, but like, it just seems like a world of excuses. Like, you know, people can have sex and grief. People can, you know, it's like anything he can use to make an excuse for him and his inability to perform, I think at this point he's going to take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of would say, no, that's not a great excuse, you know? I mean, unless he's sitting every day in grief, is he sitting there mourning every single day?
No.
Right. So no, I don't think so. And listen, we talked about this on our podcast. Like, grief is something to always be respected, but it's not something that takes up your entire day. Like, it comes in bursts. Mm-hmm. It comes in waves. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, the first few weeks and months after someone very close to you died, it is something where you could be almost handicapped in terms of being yourself and being able to physically be out there in the world. But as far as, you know, losing someone you love, that comes in waves, and it's not an excuse really for anything. You know, it's a temporary kind of pause you can put on things. But no, I don't think so.
And seeing a therapist during this time is probably something that's going to be beneficial anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited for him to do that. You know, I'm in therapy. I hope he gets all the help he needs to feel better about himself. But I don't know that I'm convinced that that's what the issue is. I don't know that it's a mental thing. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I should just kind of push a little bit more for him to go see a doctor. Yeah.
I think so. Cause it's about respecting your relationship. You know, he needs to respect your relationship too. It's not just about him and his problems. It's also about you, because you're in the relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pleasure aside, like, I just, there's like an intimacy factor that I feel like is missing from the relationship that I know we both want. And he's very generous, like, in the bedroom. So don't get me wrong. Like, it's not,
well, he
like
better
that
be. What's he going to be selfish and not able to perform? I mean,
yeah, I mean, otherwise you're just friends. And also it's like, that's pretty early on to be dealing with that, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you feel like you have what you're going to do? Do you know what you're going to do now?
I feel like I definitely have to bring it up again about him seeing a doctor in conjunction with going to therapy. But yeah. I guess my concern is that at this point, like, I'm so afraid of like making it worse or saying something like insensitively that I don't even know how to handle the situation. And when we're like in the situation, I sort of just shut down. So like, do I address it when we're not in a situation?
Yeah, don't address it in bed.
No, I agree with that. Don't address it in bed. But I think, listen, it's very good that you are thinking about this, because a lot of people would be like, this is enough. I don't need the sex. It's very good that you know what you need and that you're asking for it. So that's positive already. And I think you don't say it in the bedroom. You say it to him in a loving conversation when you're talking about therapy. Hopefully, you know, bring up the topic of therapy, bring up the topic of your therapist and what you've been thinking about. And that in order for you, you know, not like in an ultimatum way to phrase it or frame it, but like, you want to be sexual with him. You like him so much. You want to have a deeper intimacy with him. The possibilities are endless for how close you guys can become once you have that kind of sexual intimacy and like fun playtime. I hate when people talk about sex as play, but I said that. And, you know, like all of those things. But also, like, I actually need more of an effort on your behalf to try and figure this out. I'm here and I'm waiting and I'm totally willing to figure it out with you. But I actually need you to be a little bit more proactive. Mm-hmm. Saying you're going to see a therapist isn't an immediate solution. And what if there is an immediate solution? You know, we need you to see a doctor. Maybe we can figure it out in the meantime and then find out, you know, you can get Viagra, you can get Cialis or whatever pairing is best for his medication that he's on. And just say, you know, you need to, just him to demonstrate a little bit more initiative.
Yeah.
In order for you to feel secure about where you're headed.
Yeah. It's time to move from like, hey, do you think maybe you should see a therapist or a doctor or this, to like, this is an issue and it has a solution and let's take the steps to find that solution.
I like that. That's a good point. I could phrase it that
and
way.
And the front wheel of this conversation is your desire to be with him in a relationship long term.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it would make both of us feel more comfortable. It's like every time we have this awkward interaction, it just you don't know where to go after that.
No, I know. It's so awkward. I get it. I have been there, believe me. And not with someone I really cared about, but with plenty of people I didn't.
So, exactly. Anyway, I feel like we have so much good stuff going on here. Like, I don't just want to give up on it. I want to work on it.
No, I love it. Female empowerment all the way. You're asking for what you need and you're being firm about it. And you're already getting a lot, but you're not getting everything you need. And you should get everything you need, especially in the dynamic of this relationship.
And he needs to meet your effort because you're, you know, being extremely compassionate and understanding and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to be.
And he needs to go down on you a lot. All right, Sarah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye, Sarah. Good luck.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
That reminds me of a time when I was in New Zealand performing and I had met this guy on a boat and I invited him to New Zealand to see my show. And then I saw him off the boat, out of context. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And in Auckland, and he showed up and I was like, I can't fuck this guy. Like, I just can't do it. And I had never had sex with him. We just like fooled around. He was like one of the crew on this boat, my friend chartered.
That's hot.
Yeah, he was a crewman. And then when he was out of his crew outfit, it was not on. I was like, they were like Cavaricci jeans or something. And I just remember looking at his body and being like, or no, his outfit. And I was like, oh God, like, no. And so I brought him and he had come to Auckland to see me. And I was like, I have to get out of here. Like, I can't sleep with this guy. And so we went up to my hotel room and I'm like, oh, and he just went down on me like five times.
Finally,
well,
that's
like,
what he gets for those jeans.
Exactly. And I was like, that's a wrap. Like, I can't even let you do that again. It's too much. And then I checked out of my own hotel suite, gave him the suite so I could just get out of his hair and pretended I had to go home to LA for an emergency rehearsal for like the VMA awards or whatever the fuck I was doing. Guys, I love when they were like, well, he's very generous. Like, that's like saying someone's like, of course he's generous in bed. Can't fuck you.
She was patient. She's a good person.
Yeah.
No, I know. Well, women are patient.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to not think it was me or that I was too intimidating. Men do get nervous. They have to perform. We don't have to get an erection. We just have to sit there and take it. You know what I mean? We don't really have to perform if we don't feel like it. So they do have an added pressure. It is interesting that it seems to be an issue more in recent years for all men than it has been. So something's going on societally, and I'm sure it has to do with social media or sex or porn or whatever.
Right, like Blair was saying with porn.
Yeah, and just like a lower overall quality of health. I feel like we're all like sedentary, sitting inside at screens. It's not like outside, like chopping wood, developing, you know, healthy muscle in the sun.
Well, speak for yourself, Blair.
No, I saw you in your bikini. I was like, this is incredible. This woman is out in the air, just enjoying life. Oh my God.
That's right.
Well, our next caller is Hayden, and she is 26. It's a bit of a, you know, for lack of a better term, a journey. So I'm going to summarize. But Hayden is 26. She was with her husband since she was 14. She was a bit unsure about her sexuality, and so they decided to bring other women into the bedroom. Her husband cheated and then, you know, convinced her they could work it all out. But then an opportunity arose, she says, with one of her closest friends, and they did start having threesomes. Well, as we can assume, the husband and best friend wound up kind of running off together. He moved in with her like the night she confronted him about sleeping with her best friend without her. And so, you know, she feels like none of this should have happened. She's angry and heartbroken. And meanwhile, they're now going on trips and doing things that were originally planned for the two of them and just openly enjoying their life together. So she says, how do I move forward? How do I trust anyone ever again? I want to be my best self and get healthy before starting to date again. But I'm a human and I'm lonely and I miss the companionship so much. I liked being married, but even just being someone's girlfriend seems so far away. I've done a lot of hookups, but I'm not satisfied in that realm. Hayden.
Hi, Hayden.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Hi, Hayden.
That's Blair.
Hi, Blair.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Thank you. It's been a rough ride.
When did this happen?
This happened last June. At the very end of June is when we separated.
And they're still together. Are you divorced or what?
Yeah, we're legally divorced now. And yes, they are still together.
Yeah, that hurts a lot.
Yeah.
And are you in therapy?
I am, yes, thankfully.
And how is that helping you?
Therapy's helping a lot, just realizing there was a lot of other unhealthy things throughout the relationship. And being so young and getting together definitely created a dynamic that as an adult, I don't think I want.
Yeah, those are all good things to recognize. It's funny when things like this happen, you realize like it's not that, that's not the only incident. It's always something deeper and that there was already a lack of connection or trust or, you know, something wasn't right to begin with. But I think it's these things that happen to us in our lives are big tests for us to see if we can level up and we can meet the moment. And it's always interesting to see how different people handle these kind of emotional takedowns that we experience. And you're in therapy, you now have some distance and time from it, not as much as you're gonna get and as much as you want, I'm sure, but you have enough distance to even recognize that the relationship wasn't what you thought it may have been. You're divorced, your kind of side of the street is pretty clean. You didn't cause any of the disruption. You kind of participated in something that ended your marriage. And I think that you learned a lot and that moving forward, you're gonna have all this whole new kind of toolkit, especially with all the things you're picking up from therapy, which I'm sure are vast, right? Mm-hmm. All of the different ways to deal with stress or the ways to deal with sadness and the aloneness, because right now you're missing something that you really didn't have to begin with. You know, you thought you had and you can have with someone else now that you're more aware and more tuned into what you need in a relationship. Like, how do you now feel about moving forward in a relationship, opening up the relationship and having threesomes? Would you do that again?
No.
Right.
Never again.
Right. So, you know, I mean, this is a very common thing that happens. It's not the reason why your relationship had its demise, but it's a very common thing that happens. And I think you have to like look at this time as like, okay, I'm like, it's almost like an armor, but it's not a defensive armor. It's like a protective, or like you're filling yourself up with all the tools and all like the energetic vibrations you need to move forward into your life in a more positive, healthy, and more joyful direction. Like that's done and that's over. And thank God it's over, because now right. You can open up to the possibilities of everything else. And I would really encourage you to try to start meditating in order to stay in the moment that you're in, mm-hmm. instead of thinking about all of the stuff that happened in the past or what's possible in the future, because as present as you can be is going to be the biggest kind of therapeutic aid in moving forward. As present as you can be, whether you're upset one day or you're happy the next day or you have a bad date or you have a good date, be present with all of those emotions, because that takes you in to the moment you're in. And then the past and the future kind of become irrelevant.
That's such good advice. Honestly.
Yeah. So I think download a meditation app if you don't have one already.
Okay.
That is really about mindfulness and being present, because I was just writing about this in my book. Like the most blissful moments I've experienced in my life were because I was paying attention to what was happening, mm-hmm. good and bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think when you have a big betrayal like that, it's really sometimes it's much more difficult not to be like, they did this to me. And then I think like whenever I've been really, really hurt after a breakup, I go into sort of like Avengers mode where I'm just like, okay, how can I make myself happy? What have I been wanting to do that I haven't gotten to? What trip have I been wanting to do? What goal have I been wanting to? What have I been wanting to write? And just like try and fill up that vacuum too of like, you know, reminding myself what makes me happy, trying new stuff, like trying to bring newness into my own life. Like, even though you're sad, find things that can bring you joy and make you happy.
And having been with your husband since you were what, 14?
14, yeah.
You grew up in this way where you were like figuring out who you were with him. You know, it was always mm-hmm. in the context of this other person. Now you get to figure out what you like, what does bring you joy without another person. Like what's mm-hmm, just like right. your straight up, like, this is kind of fun, you know, discovering that on a day-to-day basis, I think is going to be really a revelation if you pay attention, as Blair and Chelsea were saying.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been hard, but I have learned a lot. And I do think in a lot of realms, I'm happier on this side than I was looking back, but.
And you're only going to get happier. Like you're getting happy and now you're going to mm-hmm. get happier and enjoy this singledom. You're not going to be single forever. It's rare that anybody is. So enjoy this time getting to know yourself and invest in yourself with everything that Blair said, you know, books and exercise and finding out what interests you and, you know, whatever that is, art or culture or fucking women's volleyball, whatever you're into, just get into it. You know what I mean? And pour yourself mm-hmm. into that, because you're going to get so much back from actually like finding out who you are now that you don't have this person that is like right. making up half of your personality, so to speak.
Yeah, you're still so young. Like you can fully reinvent yourself if you feel like it. You know, you can make your life whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm just trying to figure out what that looks like, what exactly I want, but I just have to give it time.
Give it time, give it space, and be very gentle with yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, start this meditation practice and just do this every morning just to ground yourself for the day and mm-hmm. be like, okay, today's another day where I'm going to find out something new about myself. Like set that kind of intention for yourself. And if you practice, you know, like I promise you after 2 weeks, you're going to start to feel differently. There's going to be a shift in you. It's impossible not to feel it when you really dedicate yourself to something. And I think that's just what you need.
Okay. After this, I will download one for sure.
Okay. I love it. Keep us posted. Okay.
I will. Thank you guys so much.
Bye, Hayden. Thanks for calling in.
Bye, Hayden.
Bye, guys.
My brother's name is Hayden, and I really had a heart attack for a second when you said Hayden's on the phone. I was like, uh-oh.
We're doing an intervention. He's going to confront you about your ayahuasca use. He thinks you've done it too many times.
Yeah. I was like, wow, who's Charles Beth?
I know. Wait till your parents hear this. They're calling in next.
Yeah, I know.
Well, our next caller is Jane. And Blair, are you somebody who smokes weed at all? since we just want to tell your parents everything.
Yeah, I'm a gummy girl sometimes.
Blair, have you ever done anal? I think that's also something we want to make sure your parents know about.
Yes.
I haven't. I don't think I'm going to get there, but
Think you'd like that? Okay, perfect. Yeah. Okay, great.
Jane says, "Dear Chelsea, my sister-in-law is the worst. My brother and this nightmare have been married for 7 years now, and they have three beautiful children whom I adore. My mom, sister, brother, and I have always been very close. My sister-in-law seems to resent this aspect of our family as she grew up in a very different situation, leaving her with some serious attachment issues. She's very, very attached to my brother. Although, to be fair, my brother is a fucking catch. He had his years of overdoing it when he was drinking and a bit of a temper, but he's a really great guy that any girl would be lucky to have. In the last year or two, my brother has stopped drinking, which has been great for him and for their relationship. He has, however, started up a new habit of using marijuana. I'm the youngest in my family and have always been a big fan of the weed and was looked down upon because of it. He says he's much calmer and present with his family, three little kids, and doesn't fly off the handle when he's frustrated. He and his coworker will enjoy an end-of-day joint on the way home to unwind and relax before they both have to go home to kids and questions, responsibilities, and all the things. His outwardly liberal wife is now giving him an ultimatum: family or the weed. My brother has obviously said he would pick his family every time, but how can we help educate her on marijuana's benefits? He's not coming home hammered drunk and pissed off. He's floating on a cloud of happiness. Please help. I'd love for them to call it quits, but for the sake of their family, I'd like for her to get some education and open her mind to the ways it's benefiting their relationship."
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. This is Blair, our special guest today.
Hello.
Yeah, she does need to get educated on marijuana. What's the best education for marijuana, Catherine?
I mean, there are a lot of documentaries on this. There is Clearing the Smoke on YouTube, The Cannabis Question, and The Grass is Greener on Netflix, Weed the People, which I think is also on YouTube, and the CBC, which is great, of course. They have a series called The Nature of Things, and they have an awesome episode called Science and Cannabis. You know, I would encourage her to kind of take a look at some of these things and reach her own conclusions.
I mean, it's kind of everywhere.
It is kind of everywhere. I would even say How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan is a great book. It's more about psychedelics, but he does address weed and how it affects your brain specifically. That would be a good resource.
Yeah, she needs like some sort of wake-up call. Like, her husband quit drinking to smoke weed is so much better.
Yeah, it's better for you in every way.
Like, what's her problem? Relax.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing with her. Like, she just needs to relax. She's so uptight and she's so, like, worried about what other people think. And we are from a pretty small town, so it's like, you don't know what anyone else's lives are like. Their husbands, your friends' husbands that you see on social media having these great lives and whatever, like, your husband's not doing anything terrible. And she just needs to relax.
Yeah, I mean, refer to Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Like, do they seem like threatening people? They're both stoners.
Right.
I mean, start with that. And I mean, everyone smokes weed now. It's just so lame to have to even educate somebody about the benefits of marijuana. Whatever. I mean, is she happy that he quit drinking?
Oh, yeah. Yep, because I think that was one thing that she also did, the whole ultimatum thing, like, quit this or me and the kids are gone. And it's like, that's just not the way to have a relationship. That's not healthy. To constantly be like, do this or I'm gone. Or like, they just need to go to like therapy.
Yeah, they do. They do need to go to therapy. Do they go to therapy?
No, she used to, and they just really need to.
Yeah, they should go to couples counseling to discuss it, because it's not like he's smoking five joints a night, right?
Right, yeah. And he's even cut down since I wrote in, but she's so rigid in everything.
Sounds like she needs to smoke a little weed, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
I do wonder if there is – this may be something that she changes her mind about over time. It may not be, but I wonder if it's something that you can kind of drop into conversations about, like, some of the benefits. I mean, people use this as medicine. It is something that reduces anxiety for a lot of people. And I wonder maybe if it's about educating yourself on some of, like, the specific studies that have been done, and that you can kind of drop into conversation here and there about, like, oh, here are some of the benefits.
Yeah. My mom was diagnosed with lung cancer a few years ago, and she's gone through chemo and radiation and used medical marijuana. She used RSO oil for a while. And so it's like, how is this judgment coming to my brother?
Can you have a conversation with her or no? Will that not go well?
I'm not usually the one that brings it up. It's my older sister. She will bring it up. And I guess we've been avoidant of that because they have kind of butted heads this entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have older brothers and, you know, they're married and everything. And what I've learned is that it never goes well. Like, the more you stay out of their relationship, like, the better it is. Because if anyone feels ganged up on, you know, if she's feeling ganged up on, because, you know, you can feel those things sometimes. So yeah. I don't know if that's helpful, but maybe you're just like, c'est la vie, you know, like they'll work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't sound like you have the relationship to have the conversation with her.
Excuse me. I would love to educate you on the incredible benefits about marijuana. So you can let my brother just puff that J on his way home.
Is there anything specific that she objects to, or does she just doesn't like the whole idea?
That's what makes it even weirder. It's like this kind of just popped up when he started. Seems like a control thing. And she's never outwardly said anything that she disagrees about it with. It's just like the minute he did it, it's wrong.
How about next time she comes over, you just have like platters full of joints everywhere?
I like that idea.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in, Jane.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Take care. Good luck, Jane.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Moms are more than the stuff they do for us. The laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, Dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give Mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm-fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chelsea.
We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Leesa's Sapira Hybrid has been named Wirecutter's best hybrid mattress 5 years running, and collectively, their mattresses have over 20,000 five-star reviews. Delivery is free, returns are easy, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses, plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
And we're back, wrapping it up with Blair Saki. Blair, thank you for coming on today. It was such a pleasure to meet you. I hope I see you again in person.
Oh my gosh, this was just a thrill. I'm so happy I got to hang out with you. I love you.
Yeah, me too. I love you too, honey. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay,
bye, Chelsea.
Thank you. Okay, guys, so for stand-up, I'm coming to Maricopa, Arizona, April 12th, and then Brooks, California is April 13th. And we added a second show in Sydney, and we added a second show in Prior Lake, Minnesota, which is now going to be May 24th. We added the Santa Barbara Bowl, which is so fun. I performed there last year. That's August 17th, the Santa Barbara Bowl. We added a second show at Santa Rosa on August 2nd. And we added two dates in Hawaii, guys. I'm coming to Hawaii on July 19th to Kahului. I'm going to be at Kahului. And then I'm coming on July 20th to Honolulu. And, oh, I just added another date on August 1st, Auburn, Washington. So, and all my Australia and New Zealand dates are up, and I will be announcing a European tour shortly. So I will be coming there, and I'm coming to Oklahoma. I have two dates in Oklahoma, May 3rd, which is my mother's birthday, Norman, Oklahoma, and May 4th. I will be in Thackerville, Oklahoma. So Oklahomans, come. Bye.
If you'd like advice from Chelsea, shoot us an email at dearchelseapodcast@gmail.com and be sure to include your phone number. Dear Chelsea is edited and engineered by Brad Dickert, executive producer Catherine Law. And be sure to check out our merch at chelseahandler.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea.